This is the National Conversation. With all things considered, I'm Ari Shapiro. It's easy to get caught up in the bad news these days. So for the next few minutes, we want to appreciate the moments of generosity and neighborliness that many of you have told us about during this crisis. To think about how a challenge like this pandemic can bring out the best in people, we have invited Cheryl Strayed onto the program. She is author of Wild and host of the podcast Sugar Calling. Good to have you here.
It's lovely to be here, Ari. Thank you.
So many listeners sent us stories, anecdotes, experiences that they will never forget, and many of them have to do with people who live right nearby. To kick us off, let's listen to two of them.
I'm Rachel in San Antonio. I have a neighbor, and he began home gardening. And in our neighborhood, the grocery stores that open curbside delivery in other parts of town were not offering it in the inner city where we live. So he went around and shared tomato plants that he had grown just as a way to encourage people and also to help make them more independent, just so they would have tomatoes during these times when things were running out the grocery store, and also just to go around and check on them.
And then here's another story of neighborly kindness.
Hi, this is Maya Snyder. We have a 3-year-old who is unable to go to any parks right now. And our neighbor, his wife passed away in December, right before all of this, and he's just been home alone by himself. And the other day, he called us over, and he had bought a bunch of sand for his sandbox and fixed up the swing set and put a bunch of his children's old toys around in the backyard for our daughter. So it's just really sweet. We go over there and talk to him all the time now, and she has a party to go to just for herself.
Cheryl, these are such beautiful stories, and we got so many like this of neighbors helping each other out. Has the pandemic changed the way you think about your own neighborhood, the people who live around you?
It has, and these stories are so beautiful and so much what I see going on in my neighborhood in Portland, Oregon. First of all, I see my neighbors more. Everyone's home, yeah. And a lot of people are in their yards and walking around. A lot of people have put up signs with positive messages in their windows or in their yards or written with chalk on the sidewalks. And you know, the sentiment is very much, we are together and we can get through this together. It's really uplifting.
Oh, that's wonderful. I feel the same thing in my neighborhood in Washington, D.C. Here's a call that we got from someone who recently lost a loved one.
My mother died on April 14th, and my brother and my sister and I were allowed to be outside of her window. And we were so grateful to the hospice nurse that sat with her and brushed her hair and held her hand and caressed her forehead, as we couldn't be there with her, holding her while she died. But the nurse did it for us while we sang to her. And it meant so much to us. Thank you.
Cheryl, this is so tough. And as we approach 100,000 deaths in the U.S., I know so many people are in this position of being unable to say goodbye or mourn as they would have hoped to. Do you have any advice on how to help those who have lost loved ones?
Yeah, well, first I want to say to that caller, I'm so sorry for your loss. And I think now, and this has always been true, but perhaps now more than ever, the best thing we can do to help those who are grieving is to bear witness to their sorrow by listening to them, by asking them about their loss, by asking them about their loved ones. I think it's so healing to get that opportunity to tell stories about the person who died. That's what we do at funerals and memorial services. And I think that we need to keep doing that beyond today and next week and next year. That one thing I know about grief is it goes on for years. And I think our tendency is to turn away from that. And now I hope one of the good things that can come out of this collective experience is that we turn towards it and we do better with talking to people who are in grief.
Yeah. I know you asked your followers on social media to share some moments of kindness that they've witnessed. What stood out to you in their responses?
Well, first of all, by how many there were, and how many were about people giving what they had to give, whether that be they're good at baking pies and cakes, and they do that, and they hand them out to their friends and neighbors, or they gather bouquets of flowers or produce baskets from gardens they've planted, offering tutoring services to students. I was just really heartened to see how so many people thought, well, okay, I can't do everything, but I can do this thing, and I'm going to give it.
That actually kind of speaks to the next story we have from a caller named Carrie in Dallas.
We live on a block with quite a few kids, and since school's been out, we've all been doing our best to keep them going with their schoolwork. One of my sweet neighbors one night put some flowers together in a small bud vase, tied a pretty blue ribbon on it, and wrote just a sweet note that said to the best homeschool teacher in the world and put it on the front porch of a couple of our houses just to remind us that we've got this. It was a really sweet, kind thing for her to do, and I have the greatest neighbors and very thankful for them during this time.
I just love this because I think so many people feel like trying to be a homeschool teacher makes them an inadequate employee, or trying to be a good employee makes them an inadequate parent, or, you know, everyone feels like they're failing at something, right?
Yes, I'm among those people, Ari. I mean, I have two teenagers, an eighth grader and ninth grader, and I'm working, writing full time. And I think that I'm not alone in feeling like, how do we do everything inside this little box? I've had to let go of the idea of being productive at the same pace that I used to be.
Mm-hmm. So what advice do you have on people being kind to themselves in these times?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things in my work as Dear Sugar that I told people over and over again is that the best way forward is almost always to accept what's true, to make peace with what's true, even if it's something that you wish were otherwise or different. And for me, one of the greatest kindnesses I've given myself is to say, yeah, this is hard. It's really hard for me to do everything at the level I was doing before, to focus, and to be, I guess, more gentle with my days. Like to say, this is what I got done today, and I'm going to live in now and accept that.
Yeah. Let's listen to another story. This one comes from Alexandra in Milwaukee.
4 weeks ago, my teenager pretty much fell apart. And we just weren't understanding what it was like for him to be pulled out of school and being a teenager in love, missing prom, missing everything. And we just decided once a week on Tuesday nights, we sit down and say, how's it going? What can I do for you? Never would have done that. It's a beautiful thing. I end up crying almost good tears after every session.
This is just so wonderful. It seems like a reminder that sometimes just saying, how's it going, is enough to make a big difference in a person's life.
It's huge. It's huge. And I love how Alexandra says they're missing everything. And what is happening instead is they're getting this. And I think that's a really important way to think about this. You know, when we say, how's it going? We're asking in a different context than we were before. And I think maybe listening with more heart. And I think that's the beauty of this moment is what we're missing. We're getting something else in return.
Cheryl Strayed is author of Wild and host of the podcast Sugar Calling. Thank you so much for sharing these stories with us.
Oh, thank you. It's a delight to talk to you, Ari.
I am Ari Shapiro, and we'll be back tomorrow to answer more of your questions. Send them to npr.org/nationalconversation. On Twitter, use the hashtag NPRConversation. And this is The National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR News.